الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وحده لا شريك له ولا نظير له ولا ند له ولا ضد له ولا مثل له ولا مثال له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن الناس من يشتري لهو الحديث ليضل عن سبيل الله بغير علم ويتخذها هزوا أولئك لهم عذاب مهين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من حسن إسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعنيه أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
My respected elders and brothers, when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had taken Shaitan out of Jannah, amongst the things he promised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. I'm going to mislead this whole progeny of Adam alayhi salam. It's because of him that I was thrown out of Jannah. Now I will make it my duty and my responsibility that I will misguide every one of them and take everyone into Jahannam with me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told me, لَا يُومِ الْوَقْتِ الْمَعْلُومِ. I'll give you a certain amount of grace that you can try, but would that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give him a lot of restrictions. Comes the month of Ramadan, and Shaitan is bundled up in chains and is thrown at the bottom of the ocean. That now don't disturb my servants. They are engaged in my ibadat, in my worship, don't trouble them. When the azan is called out for salah, then Shaitan runs away from the masjid. That now when my servants are intending to come to the masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want him to disturb us at that time. When a person recites Ayatul Kursi in his home and he goes to sleep, Shaitan can't enter that house where Ayatul Kursi is read. If a person in the morning when he leaves his home, he says, Bismillah tawakkaltu ala Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, then that person is protected from Shaitan from the entire day. So despite all his efforts, Allah ta'ala gave him a lot of restrictions. And it's difficult for him to try and penetrate and get into every person. But from a long time he's been trying. Let me find something that will affect insan. Whether it's the month of Ramadan, whether it's out of the month of Ramadan. Whether a person is in a masjid or is out of the masjid. Whether he's in i'tikaf, whether he's in Makkah Mukarrama, or whether he's in Medina Munawwara. A person can be in the recesses of his home. Wherever a person may be, where even I cannot go, Shaitan says, I'm looking for something that will destroy him, that will finish him in every part of his life. At the end of the second millennium, he perfected his plan and he produced it in the form of a cell phone, call it a hell phone. Such a thing that will break up the moral fabric of society. It will create havoc in communities. It will break up marriages. It will engage every limb of insan in guna. His eyes will be in sin. His hands will be in sin. His feet will be in sin. His body will be in sin. His heart will be in sin. This thing will penetrate him even whilst he's making tawaf of the Baytullah. Or even if he's standing at the most sanctified place in the dunya, at the Rosa Mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this thing will affect him and this thing will destroy him. And this is that cell phone that has come and has taken the world by storm. As if Shaitan has given his resignation. And he says, such havoc this thing will cause, even I cannot cause. Whilst we all may agree that there's a lot of benefit in a phone, Or you also may argue that there's a lot of good that takes place in the phone. We cannot write it off, that there's a lot of harm in it. And there's a lot of evil in it. And definitely it's destroying our society, our children and our communities. With the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I try to make a list of a few points which may be important and necessary for us all to take note of. That whilst it has found a place in our pockets and it enjoys an important part in the life of every person, we have to also understand the harms that it has and how much it is destroying us. The first point is the aspect of cell phone addiction. Cell phone addiction, we have heard of drug addiction, we've heard of alcohol addiction. There's an addiction that is called cell phone addiction, where a person is addicted to his cell phone. He can't function without his cell phone. And just like how you'll find a drug addict going into denial when you tell him, but you are taking drugs, you're addicted to it. You tell you, I'm not addicted to it. I just smoke when I'm with my friends for recreation. I don't do it, I'm not addicted. He'll go into denial. He'll never accept it. He'll never say that I am addicted to it and I've got a problem. Similarly, a cell phone addict, he'll also go into denial. He'll say, I'm totally in control of this thing. This thing doesn't control me, I control it, I know how to use it. But yet you find that a cell phone addict is so addicted to it that the last thing he does before he sleeps at night is he looks at his phone. And the first thing he does when he wakes up in the morning is he's looking at his phone. A person comes to the masjid in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a time when he's supposed to be dedicating his time and effort for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet the muazzin is calling out the iqamah for the salah. The person is still looking at his phone and he's still checking through his messages. The imam will say Allahu Akbar to start that salah. Quickly he'll put his phone in his pocket and he'll join the namaz. And the moment the imam says Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, that phone is back out and he's looking through his messages again. A person addicted to the phone, he can't function without it. Sometimes you even see a person whose his battery has gone flat. A person can't function. I need a charger now. Anybody can lend me a charger. You go from person to person. You've got a power bank. I need my phone right now. I can't function without it. A person is addicted to the phone. Sometimes it's an ijtima that is taking place. A large ijtima, people have gathered and congregated from all over the country, all over the province. Great, great ulama have come from overseas. The bayan is taking place from the stage. There are thousands of people that have gathered there. But unfortunately, even at such a time, when Allah's words and the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are being mentioned, at such a time also, a person is still addicted to his phone. He's busy checking his messages, disregarding the advice and the messages that are coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam via these ulama. The importance of us understanding that we mustn't become cell phone addicts. At times you'll find it's a mayat, there's a funeral, the stark reminder of death, a greater reminder of death we cannot have. A person is in the qabristan, in the graveyard, and the janazah is being lowered into the ground. At that moment also a person cannot detach himself from his phone. He's still addicted to the phone, he's still looking at his phone, at workplaces, teaches in the school, teaches in a madrasa. At a time when we're supposed to be engaging in passing on our information to the child, parents have sent their children to the school or the madrasa with this niyat and intention that the child will learn from the ustad, but he's busy with his phone at that time. Are we not answerable to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for this? I remember once we went to Madina Munawara, and whilst we were coming out of the Haram Sharif, at a door called Babi Umar, at the rear of the masjid, as we were exiting, there were two security guards that were standing at that particular place. At such a strategic place to stand to monitor every person that's coming into the haram, every person that is leaving the haram, both of them are so stuck onto their phones. They're totally oblivious of what's happening, who's coming in and who's going out. Cell phone addiction. And sometimes it's an old person. As we can see, he's got his one leg in the grave and the other leg is on the banana peel. So old he is. At such a time when he's now supposed to be building his ta'alluq with Allah, he's supposed to be strengthening his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his time is supposed to be spent in the Quran Sharif with the dhikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the masjid. Such a time a person is now busy with his phone. And when you bring it up to his attention and say, Haji Sahab, why at this age now you're stuck with it? No, I'm reading hadiths. Who are we bluffing? We're bluffing ourselves. We're bluffing ourselves. The person is getting stuck. He's getting so stuck to the phone. Recently there was an issue in Isipingo Beach where we are. There was a problem between a husband and wife. So they got the elders in the family involved, how we can sort this problem out. Husband is complaining, I come home, there's no food. The house is dirty, children are left neglected. So when they went into the matter, they realized that this woman is busy with her phone the whole day. So they decided, right, rather just take this phone away from her, maybe it will help in the marriage. But the moment they took it away from her, she went away like berserk. I want my phone now. I'll walk out of this marriage. I don't care. I'm not listening to anyone. Stuck to the phone, addicted to the phone, that everything else is now means nothing. Everything is about my phone. The question we have to ask ourselves is, brothers, are we also addicted to the phone? Or have we got this thing under control? Is the phone controlling us, or are we controlling the phone? This is the first point that we have to look in and check, is this point of cell phone addiction. The second important point is with regards to music on the phone. Whilst you'll find many people today with earphones plugged in their ears, and the media players are playing music wherever they may be, whether it's at work or at home, there's a major problem of musical rings on the phone. The house of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it could never be imagined that music will be played in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet with the invention of the cell phone, the sanctity of the masjid is totally destroyed with the person having a musical ring. Allah give us the tawfiq. A ring tone is meant to alert a person that his phone is ringing. There's no need for us to put a musical ringtone and engage ourselves and everybody else that is around us in guna and sin. There's no need for a person to engage everybody around him in sin and guna. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, Allah Ta'ala sent me. Allah Ta'ala sent me to destroy musical instruments. Yet sometimes you'll find right at the Roza Mubarak of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who mentioned these words, that Allah sent me to destroy these musical instruments. That ringtone is playing that music right at the Roza Mubarak. Allah forgive us, Allah Ta'ala guide us, give us hidayat. I remember once I saw my uncle, Mufti Zubair Sahab. There was a person whose phone was ringing, it had a musical ringtone. So nicely, Mufti Sahab asked him, can I borrow your phone? He went onto the settings and he changed the ringtone. And he said, this is the right ringtone to have, not a musical ringtone. If we have that kind of ta'alluq with our friends and relatives, and if somebody has got a ringtone like that, after all, we are an ummah of Amar bil Ma'ruf, Nahi anil Munkar. To enjoin good and to stop evil, at least that much ihsas we can have, that a person is stopping others also from having a ringtone on the phone. Somebody was asking, what about if you put azan on the phone? A person is putting azan or zikr on the phone as a ringtone. The name of Allah is too great to bring it down to just a ringtone. Allah Ta'ala's name is much greater than that, and to make it into a ringtone. Azan is not meant to be making to a ringtone. And if that phone has to ring in the toilet, what disrespect to the name of Allah. Therefore, a person should never put a ringtone as azan or the zikr of Allah. Just a normal ringtone to alert him that the phone is ringing, I need to answer. Sometimes it may happen that the phone may ring in the masjid. It happens, a person forgot. A person, innocently, he forgot to put the phone off. But if his phone rang, he can quickly switch it off in the masjid. He shouldn't answer it in the masjid. Because this is his time for Allah. He shouldn't give preference to anybody over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now that he's in the masjid. So if the phone rings in the masjid, immediately he should put it off. Switch the phone off without disturbing the rest of the musallis. Innocently, if he did it, inshallah, Allah ta'ala will forgive him for it. Sometimes a person, he phones a certain company. And when he's put on hold, then there's music on the phone that he has to listen to. Remember, if it's a Muslim company, then the directors of those company will be sinful for making others listen to the music. But if it's a non-Muslim company and you're listening to it, then the right thing at that moment to do is distance the phone from your ear and engage your tongue and your heart in istighfar. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. That Allah Ta'ala, I don't want to listen to it, but I'm forced to, but at this time also I'm making istighfar. Music on the phone, the second problem. Third problem that we find generally when it comes to the cell phone is a problem of taking photographs. That a person is, he doesn't care where he is, what he's doing. Today, everywhere you're going, a person is with a phone. It's from this side, it's from that side. Selfies. A person is so, he's so enamored with himself. Self-admiration. He's so much fallen in love with himself that he has to take a photograph of himself everywhere and keep on uploading it on social media. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioning in a hadith, "Ashadu nasi azaban yom al qiyamati al musawirun." The people that will have the worst kind of punishment on the day of qiyamah will be those people who used to take photographs, those people who used to take pictures. A person is taking a photograph of an animate object, taking photos of people. Sometimes it's his wife, sometimes it's his children. A Muslim, he had haya. He would never put his wife's photograph anywhere. Today a Muslim is putting his wife's photograph on social media. For who? For the whole world to view. Allah save us. Allah bless us with that haya once again. A Muslim would never do something like this. His daughter's photos, his wife's photos, he would never share it with anybody. There was a time when the Tabligh Jamaat effort started in the 60s, 70s, 80s. Many people became conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There were people who had albums of photographs. Their school photographs, wedding photographs, honeymoon photographs. They took all of this and they burnt it. They said, I cannot destroy my relationship with my Allah. One day I have to sleep in my grave. I'm concerned about my akhirat. Before I die, I can't have all of this. They burned a whole lot of it. Why? That consciousness of Allah came in their hearts. Allah give us that consciousness also, that we can take the phone and we can delete all those photographs. Go on to it. If our iman means anything to us, if our relationship with Allah means anything to us, Allah give us that strength in our iman, that we can go and delete all of that. And we say that we have renewed our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Photographs, person taking photographs just like that on the phone. There's a third problem that you may have heard of something called Sadqah Jariyah. Sadqah Jariyah is where a person does a good deed and he passes it on to others. Person learns Surah Fatiha and then he taught someone else, 5, 6, 7 people, he taught them Surah Fatiha. Every one of them that practices that Surah Fatiha and reads it, he'll get the sawab for it. So if 10 people read that Surah Fatiha after him, he will get the sawab of 10 people. And as it goes on, he'll continue getting the sawab. It's called Sadqah Jariyah. There's something that's called Gunah Jariyah. The person commits a sin and then he passes it on. And other people are viewing. He took a photograph of someone or something and he passed it on social media. Every person that views it, that person will be sinful. And the person who put it on social media will be sinful as well. Person can leave this world, he's in his qabar. The gunas are still coming. The sins will continue coming. Gunah Jariyah. Allah save us. Allah protect us. So this is the third problem. The fourth problem is a problem of watching videos on the phone. We all know the ruling when a person, if he goes to the cinema, or he goes to the bioscope and he goes to watch a movie, haram for him to do. If he sits in front of the television, now that movie, the TV came in his pocket. He's sitting in his room and he's watching videos in the room. Sometimes the person says, it's a cooking video. I'm just seeing how the, it's a cooking video. But that auntie, can you see her? And she says, no, there's no head over there. She's just doing it with her hands. Can you see her hands? Is it permissible for you to even look at her hands doing it? Videos. It starts off with something very small, like a person just watching a cooking video. Then you go to something worse. And from there, it goes on to hardcore porn. Then a person is watching porn on his phone. How many of us as parents know exactly what our children are viewing on their phones? A few weeks ago, I was gone for Juma in one high school. 4 youngsters came to me after the program and told me, Maulana, we got a problem. We are addicted to porn. We can't sleep at night without viewing porn. How many marriages are on the rocks because of this? Women are complaining our husbands are stuck on this phone. Whether it's intentionally or unintentionally, a person is viewing that thing. Why do we have to have Wi-Fi at home for our children to freely access the internet? Are we concerned about what's happening around us? My respected elders and friends, there was one person who came to the madrasa. And he was mentioning that old person, so he was mentioning that he's got a phone. But he says, sometimes I just get that pop-up. It's a pop-up. I don't go onto any porn sites. But it's just a pop-up that comes, and for that moment I view it, I see it, maybe I enjoy it for that moment. He says, but I have this problem now. When I'm performing my salah, at the time when I go into sajda, at that moment the picture comes in front of me. What can I do at this time? I was in Mufti Sahib giving me advice. He says, Haji Sahib, if you're really worried about this, you throw your phone away. Alapa gave him that tawfiq, he smashed his phone. He said, I don't need this thing now in my life. If it's coming right in between me and my Rabb at this moment of my life, I don't need this thing. So this is the fourth problem, the problem with regards to watching videos. The fifth problem is with regards to social media. Many people now are stuck onto this thing. They're addicted, whether it's WhatsApp, or whether it's Instagram, or whether it's Facebook, or whatever it may be. Person is stuck onto it. There was one doctor was mentioning. He was saying that 70% of the young girls that he's seeing nowadays in his surgery are suffering from depression. So they're all on the tablet. And he's asking that why, what's the reason for this? And he says, I brought it down to this one reason. That they all are sitting on Instagram and watching the lives of everybody else. This girl is gone for holiday to Cape Town. This person is gone to Dubai. This one is dressed like this. This one got a car like that. This one is eating in this restaurant. This one got a child like this. I don't have what they all have. As a result, they are making nashukri of the lives that they have. Viewing the lives of everybody else and wishing that they could be living in the lives of those people. And as a result, they are all going down into depression. Sometimes it's information that's just being passed on without verifying it. Sometimes it's the haqq of an innocent Muslim. We just took the information and we pressed the button and we passed it on. In the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. Don't be so hasty in just passing on information. Verify it first. Allah is saying, verify that information before you pass it on to anyone. The importance of verifying information. Today it's just news, it's just going. It's just going. How much of time goes in this? How much of time goes in this? Recently we went for an ijtima to Lodium about 2 years ago. There was a great alim that was there present in the ijtima, Maulana Ibrahim Deula Sabdam al Barakatum. Maulana suggested to the entire crowd that was there, said, see, it's Asr time now. I'm requesting everyone in the crowd from Asr Salah till tomorrow Fajr Salah. Everybody put your phones off. This ijtima will be taking place. After Asr, there'll be a bayan. After Maghrib, there'll be a bayan. After Isha, there'll be a bayan. And after Fajr, there'll be a bayan. So until that Fajr bayan is over, everybody put their phones off. And the night, if you can wake up for Tahajjud, spend time in Tahajjud Salah. Many of the satis put their phones off. They said, put it off. My one friend was there after Fajr Salah, when we were going for breakfast, he switched his phone on. 9,450 messages. From Asr time till Fajr time. Where's the time to read so much? Does the person have the time to make tilawat of the Quran Kareem? So much. Sometimes at home, the wife is slogging, she's preparing the food, she's preparing the home, she's looking after the children, and the husband is coming home and he's stuck to his phone. Does she deserve that kind of a treatment? After all her effort that she's putting into this life, into this marriage, into this home, for her to deserve a husband who's coming, who's stuck on his WhatsApp the entire night. Sometimes till 2 o'clock in the morning, sometimes till 3 o'clock in the morning, a person is busy with his phone. Stuck to social media. The same doctor was mentioning, he was saying that, you know, sometimes you see a small child, he's 2 years old, but the child, the way he knows how to operate the phone, we don't know how to operate the phone like that. You take the phone and, like he got a chip in his brain, he just knows how to use this thing all of a sudden. Sometimes you talk to him, how is it that the children nowadays, they're so sharp with this thing? Whereas we can't work with it like that. He says, it's not like that. He says, there was a time when mothers used to be feeding their children. They would be reciting, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, and feeding the children. Now when that mother is feeding the child, she got the child in her one hand and the phone in the other hand. So obviously she's going to pass on that same values through her milk into that child. That's why the children are growing up like this. Sometimes it's a simple thing like a cooking group. You know, ladies sharing recipes. There was one woman who was saying, said, for years every day I would wake up in the morning and I would think to myself, what can I prepare for my husband and my children that they will enjoy? And I used to prepare delicious, sumptuous meals for them. Until I joined this cooking group, she says, now when I wake up in the morning, I think to myself, what can I prepare that will impress all the other 150 ladies on this group? And whenever I post the pictures of the food and the recipes on, I wait for comments from everyone. Those who comment, I feel very nice. And those who don't comment, I hold grudges against them, why they didn't comment on my cooking. So it may look like something very simple, but there may be a lot of harm in it also. I mean, after all, why do we have to post everything we eat on social media? A person is sitting in a restaurant and he's eating something, he's enjoying it with his wife and his children. Why does he have to put it on social media that now I'm in this particular restaurant and this is the food that I'm eating and let the whole world see it? I was reading one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying that when the season of fruits coming, like how we presently in the season of fruits, and you're bringing fruits home, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's advice is that don't bring it in the open. There may be poor neighbors of yours around who cannot afford that fruit. They may be disturbed and hurt to see that fruit which they cannot afford. Or if you have the heart and share it with them as well. Why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is concerned that don't hurt the feelings of another person with that food. And we're posting that thing on social media. There may be many people who are viewing it who cannot afford such a thing. Are we hurting their feelings or not? My respected elders and friends, we have to understand one thing, that whilst this phone has found a very important place in the lives of everyone, We have to learn to control it. Whether it's us, whether it's our wives, whether it's our children, we have to learn to control the phone. And with regards to this control, number one is don't bring it in the masjid. The phone doesn't need to come in the masjid. Leave it in the car, leave it at home. Or if you bring it in a masjid, then on silent. So it doesn't disturb us, it doesn't disturb the other musallis in the masjid. So a person is controlling his phone and family time. When it's time to spend with the family, at that time, leave the phone out. After Maghrib to Isha, if we're spending that time having supper, sitting with our wives, sitting with our children, at that time, don't answer the phone. Leave the phone aside. Now is important time for me to bond with my wife and my children. I cannot be sitting with the phone and stuck to the phone at this particular time. Respected elders and brothers, for most of us, that smartphone doesn't make us any smarter. A person who got a smartphone doesn't mean he's any smarter. Sometimes makes a person even worse off than what he was. Our Muhtamim Sahab, our principal in the madrasa, Hazrat Mufti Ibrahim Saleji Sahab, Damat Barakatuh, up till now he doesn't have a phone. No smartphone, no normal phone. He doesn't keep a phone, period. He doesn't have a phone with him. The other day I was just asking him, Hazrat, how much Quran Sharif he recited for the day? You see, at that moment when I asked him, it was about Asr time or so. He said, 10 paras he completed for that day. No phone, but the amount of production that comes out from it. In conclusion, my respected elders and friends, I'd just like to mention one very important thing is that when it comes to the phone, if ever we've erred or we slipped up, or we slip up in the future, let's make tawbah to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Ask Allah ta'ala's forgiveness. If a person went on a porn site, or a person took a photo, or he listened to some music, or he watched some movie on the phone, some wrong he did with it, let's have the heart to turn to Allah and say, Allah, forgive me. I did a wrong, O Allah. Don't try and justify the wrong of ours and say, what I'm doing is right. Ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, and inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us. May Allah Ta'ala give us the true understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.